All right. You let me know.
What?
You let me know when to go.
Oh, we'll let you know when to go. Sorry.
Yep.
I had a different idea. I'm so tired.
Me too.
I'm so tired.
All right. Okay. And
you know what? Let's start this fucking show.
Everybody, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon. I'm Ian Boothby.
And I'm David Dedrick.
We just laid down our very first episode of Totally Tintin.
Yes.
And it came in at a tight 6.5 hours.
We have completely beetled that show.
Yeah, we have.
I think we've made a new... I'm going to put that into the Urban Dictionary.
Yeah.
To completely beetle something is to talk for 6.5 hours.
Yeah. If you've heard less is more, we're two morons doing more. Too much more. Lots more.
Two morons doing less.
Now, you might be thinking like, oh, those guys must be so full of energy, piff and vinegar. yeah, that's what they're full of. And that's why they're doing all that. No, we're both exhausted.
Yeah.
We're both drained.
Yeah.
Dave's doing this with a toothache as well. And you know what I think it might be? Is you've been off sugar for so long, maybe it's your sweet tooth.
My sweet tooth.
And it's just screaming.
It's packing it in.
Yeah.
It's on a hunger strike.
By the way, speaking of people that are sweet tooth deprived, if you go to our website or our Facebook page, our friend...
I'm going to put it up on the website as well.
Okay. So. Branwyn Bigglestone is doing her annual Going Without Sweets for a month, Going Without Sugar.
Yep.
And she's raising money. What is the name of the charity again that she's...
The charity she's raising money for is called At the Crossroads.
Yes.
They work with homeless youth in... Homeless man, we've been talking for too long. They work with homeless youth in San Francisco, and basically what they do is help kids to, how would you say it? They help kids find a better path.
Yeah,
you know, and so give them opportunities, because sometimes when you're in that situation,
it seems like you got nothing,
nowhere to turn. Yeah. That you've made these decisions, and now what do you do? You know, you may not. It might have seemed fun at the time, and now it's no fun. But you can't figure out a way to get out of it, and they help give kids an alternative. So. I support Branwyn 100%. I actually contributed some money to her cause.
So. I have not yet, so that makes me less of a person than you. Yes, if you want to be better,
right.
And if you guys want to be better than me, then you should contribute.
And I just want to say, in my defense,
of contributing money to contributing a worthwhile charity.
Someone.
Now, let me just say, in my defense, for doing this charitable act, also tonight have been doing some work.
Yeah.
You know, with
I wanted to give more.
Yeah,
I wanted to give more. Only our money's not worth very much right now. Canadian dollar is quite low to the American dollar. So, you know, I gave what I could. I gave it the office, is what I'm saying. I'll get you when I come back. I'll get you when I leave.
Get you on the flip side.
I'll have some change when I come out of the store.
Sounds good.
That's what I said to Branwyn.
And so that's...
And Branwyn is an incredible sweets eater. Like, she doesn't just eat, like, every once in a while.
Well, you've heard of a person called the Cookie Monster, right? That guy looks at her and goes...
What is this?
What the hell? When they see her. That guy, like, freaks
right.
out.
That's
like,
right.
His eyes looked normal before he saw how much
that's
sugar
right.
she ate.
That's right.
And then he just went all... Glug, glug, glug.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she's not, like, a one-sweet girl.
No.
She is one-sweet girl.
But
what I mean is, doesn't just eat one sweet. She's, like cupcakes.
If you remember...
Pie.
That's right.
Things that are sweet, like pies, cupcakes, pies.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything
like
else right
the,
now. Candy.
Yeah. Like,
can I list more things?
I'm trying to think of the sugariest cereal there is. What would you say? Like a...
The sugariest cereal there is would be... I always think of the chocolate ones as being the most,
like a Cocoa...
Nessie's Quick
I got what you said. Yeah, Cocoa Puffs.
Or Cocoa
Puffs,
So,
Sunny from Cocoa Puffs saw her and saw what she was eating.
Yeah.
And that's what drove him mad.
Is that right?
Because he's crazy. He's cuckoo.
He's cuckoo.
He's cuckoo for the amount of sugar he saw her eating.
That's
and
right.
then he just lost his shit.
Is he a rabbit?
No.
What is Sunny?
He's a bird. His name's Sunny Bird.
Okay.
He's a bird.
What is a rabbit? Oh, that's Trix.
Trix are for kids. And there's a leprechaun, and that's your thing. And then Quisp is just his own alien type deal. Yeah.
Quentin Quisp?
Yeah, Quentin Quisp.
They have an image of Quentin Quisp, the author.
That's right.
The famous...
So anyway, support Branwyn is what we're saying. Go on our website and do that. And I will when my next check comes in.
Yeah, we believe you.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to go on there every day and look for your name and shame you if I don't see it.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah?
Let me just shame you right now
please
saying,
do.
Dave.
Yes?
Dave.
Huh?
I was recently rent evicted.
Yes, you were.
All right. So money's tight, brother. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
We're waiting right now on some money to come in that's supposed to come in. Could have come in this week.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't. So we were able with the help of cashing in RSPs to get enough to move to the new place, because the old place will now be being fancified for the rich folks.
So sorry, so you've had to cash in some RSPs?
That's correct.
To move to this, what, you have to put a giant deposit down?
We had to put a deposit down. Yeah, you had to put like a deposit down, and then we also had to put like a deposit for because we have a pet, so you need like a little deposit on pet. And then we need to, of course, pay, you know, whatever, and you know.
So you have to pay like a few months of rent.
No, not for a few months of rent, but it you know. All right, listen, we're not sure whether or not we're going to have to pay rent on our regular apartment. Okay. Here's basically what happened.
Yeah.
We found out this month, hey, you're being rent evicted. So that's what's going on. Yeah. And so what that means is a whole building full of people are now going, we all need a place to live.
Yeah.
Meaning it's really tough to find. And the rental rates in Vancouver are really low. It's really tough to find an apartment or anything like that. And especially
well, that's because of all the empty apartments in Vancouver.
There you go. And so... 'cause
that's true. There are tons of empty apartments in Vancouver. They're just not used by people.
For that. That's correct. But when you then have a whole building full of people... who all need places at the same time, especially bad. We had gotten word from a friend of ours that part of a house was going up for rent, and so we, you know, we were kind of, and this was before the renovation.
Which we established was the cupboard,
right? But good enough for Harry Potter, good enough for us.
Yeah.
So we went before we found out about the rent eviction, and we were like, oh, this looks interesting. Oh man, maybe. Yeah, we'll see. And it's like, well, it's available at the end of the month. Oh well, you know, let's think about that. Then we found out about the rent eviction. It was like, we need that place like now.
Yeah.
And
so then you're madly trying to contact these people.
Yeah, and they're not giving us the they finally did contact us like fairly late.
Mm-hmm.
We went, we signed a bunch of stuff, went, yeah, all the stuff that says check us out head to toe.
Yeah.
Call these people. I put your name down as one of the references. I don't know if they called you or not.
They called me.
Did they?
I pretended I didn't know you.
That sounds great.
I felt that was the safest bet.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, we gave them our landlord's name, which is how she found out that we were, you know.
I wish you'd told me that they had... Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I always put your name down because you usually give a good word to me.
Of course
so,
I would.
So then they're like, oh, we tried calling your landlord and they weren't in. It was like, yeah, you called them on a weekend when they're not their business.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we're going to call Monday. So they called Monday. But then they called us on Monday and we're recording this on a Thursday.
Yes.
They called us on Monday and at 10 in the morning.
10 in the morning.
And we were asleep because we work nights.
You guys
and
are.
Then, so we got two messages. We got one at 10.
You guys are bohemians.
And one, and that was going well. Yeah, so everything seems in order. So just let us know if you want the place. And then, at noon. Well, I guess you don't want the place. We're going to put this up on Craigslist, and we'll be doing that.
Beep.
Yeah, basically. And like, I get that we're night people.
Yeah.
But if you're a regular person.
Yeah, even a regular person.
Regular person is at work.
Yeah.
Between 10 and 12.
Yeah.
You know, so no, they can't be accessing their phone and, you know, get that little window of, ugh. So anyway, we did get in contact with them and they went, okay, well, let's do it today. And we're like, yeah, let's do it today.
Yeah.
So we ended up meeting them at a McDonald's and, you know, signed a bunch of stuff.
Classic.
And yeah, it really seemed. But before we went to the McDonald's, you know, we needed to go and cash in the RSPs. And so it was a runaround to do that. And that always feels fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, just, and again, because we're waiting on a check to come in that could have come in, but didn't. And, you know, so we had to do that because we needed to put this down. So it's been kind of stressful and what have you. And now it's just all the fun of moving.
Yeah.
Really, really fast.
Well, I'm glad that I'm glad it worked out. And
I'm glad that part worked out.
It seems, they seem rather odd. So I'm, you know, you've just had to deal with them in a minor way. You know, one is to contact them to look at the place, which was
a major problem. No, I contacted, because I knew people who lived there.
Yeah.
I went and I saw the place because the person I knew who lived there, her roommate let me in.
Okay.
When I went with the person.
Yeah, you couldn't get.
I couldn't get in. He forgot his key. So we got to look at the outside of the house. So if it had just been that.
Yeah.
I guess it looks pretty good, I guess. Yeah.
And then when you, so that's an issue. Then, you know, the kind of ineptitude of phoning your landlord. So I don't
want to. But I don't want, in case anyone from there listens to this, they're all swell people. Like they seemed okay. You know, they seemed nice and who knows. And, you know.
Well, maybe they're just standoff. They just will let things kind of go. And
yeah.
I don't mean in the sense they'll just let the place fall apart, but I just mean that they're not going to be a nosy
apparently
landlord.
Apparently they're fairly hands off.
They're not going to be Mr. Roper.
Yeah.
Is what I'm
according
saying.
To the person who lived there before, once you sign the thing, you don't see them for a year. you know, and that's the way that goes.
I guess that's good and bad. Like, you would like to know that your landlord at least cares about the utilities and things working well in the home.
The other thing that's a little bit weird about it is we pay for the hydro.
Yeah.
Like, there's another person who's above
us. You pay for hydro.
Yeah. Hail hydro. There's a person who's above us, and they pay 30% of the hydro, and we pay 70%. But how it works is this, because that's too easy. We pay all of it. And then every 6 months, we go to our landlord and go, can we have money back for that we've already paid, the 30% a month? And they go, yep, here, we'll cut you that check. And then they give us money for that every 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah. So we pay the full.
Yeah.
And then we get reimbursed after 6 months.
Okay.
And, you know, I guess, and they upstairs pay them. And it just seems like that's a way around the mulberry bush, doesn't it? But anyway, that's the way it is. I don't know. It's the first time I've ever come close to renting a house.
Yeah.
So there's things to do with a house that I don't even know.
Like, there's probably some legal. There's probably some legal reasons why they can't pay you directly for the hydro.
I'm sure there are. And we've got a fireplace. I have no idea if it works. I don't know.
That's great.
Yeah. Maybe. Maybe it's great, and maybe it doesn't work. Maybe we'll put candles in it. Who knows what it is? I don't know, Dave. I just don't know. It was so rushed that it's just like, you know, we can get there and it's just full of ghosts. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's probably not, because I know the people that lived there before, and they would have been as scared of ghosts.
No, I think this is going to be the Conjuring 2.
Luckily, I have not seen that movie. If you had made a reference to a 70s haunted house movie, that would have scared me.
Okay.
If you had gone Amityville Horror, then I would have. Even though all the things in the Amityville Horror are easily explained and don't scare me, really.
Yeah. The Conjuring is, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
But you like a scary movie.
I do like scary movies. Mm-hmm. But I like scary movies like that. I like psychological scary movies. I don't find movies that make me jump to be that great. Like the cat jumping out at you.
Yeah. There should be a movie which just teams up all of those cats.
Well, it should be a movie where the cat jumps out and the person happens to is like, really? A jump scare now? You know, like. So.
Well, they're remaking, as I think we've said, not remaking, but they're doing another Alien movie, and they're bringing back Ripley, and I just hope they bring back the cat.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Jinx.
Yeah, bring the clone of the cat shows
is
it up.
The cat's name is Jinx, right?
I got no idea.
I'm going to say it's Jinx. Jinx.
Nerd.
Jinx the cat.
Nerd. I don't remember. Anyway, so.
That cat killed more people on the Nosferatu. That's not what the name of the ship is. I can't remember the actual name.
That sounds about right.
The Nostromo.
Nebuchadnezzar.
The Nostromo. It's named after a Joseph Conrad book.
Oh, very
but,
good.
It kills more people in that film than the alien does.
Explain.
Everyone dies looking for the cat. Like the hairy...
they would have died anyway.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
There are a bunch of mice living in a shoebox with a cat. They would have been dead. That's fine. Right?
Pretty much.
Like, it's just amazing that Ripley made it out.
Yeah, no, that's you're right. I guess you're right. Can't really blame the cat for luring people to their death.
No. Now, with the alien...
Because the captain is in the thingy. He's crawling through the ventilation system, carrying a flamethrower, I think. And then he runs into the cat in there, right? And that throws him off his game. Then when the alien shows up, he has no idea what's going on. Well, you know, I wasn't allowed to see that film when I was a kid.
Because you were bad?
Because I was young.
Because it was so pro-cat?
Because it was so scary. I wanted to see it so badly.
Well, they did say, like, that's how they promoted it, remember? It was like, you know, when you see what this monster looks like, you cannot, oh my God. Like, you will not believe what the monster
is. They're right. When you see the monster, you are amazed, because it does not look like any other monster you've ever seen in your life. But I so wanted to see it, so I read the novelization by Ellen Dean Foster, who I think wrote the novelization for every film that ever came out. Mm-hmm. Because I read another novelization of a film.
Vacation, the movie.
No,
the novel.
I wasn't allowed to see It's Alive. The movie I was talking about last week with the killer baby.
Yeah.
I wasn't allowed to see that film either, though I wanted to see it. But so I read the novelization. Yeah.
Maybe your parents just wanted you to read more.
I read a lot. I don't think they wanted me to read any more than I did.
Okay, fair enough.
I think less reading was their goal.
Fair enough.
More playing outside and getting fresh air.
Meh.
Overrated.
Yeah. Air's everywhere.
I did a lot of that, though.
You played outside?
Oh, yeah.
What kind of games did you play?
Tag, kick the can, made-up games where you just run around and pretend to punch each other and do stunts. Rode our bikes all over hell and, you know, gone. We used to ride our bikes through this big park by our house down to where the hydro easement was so we could watch the older boys ride their motocross, motocross things, whatever they're called. They're called motocross?
That sounds about
cycles?
Right.
Cycles? I don't know.
Like that.
They're motorbikes. They're dirt bikes. They're dirt bikes. There you go. then they would ride them through this hydro easement, or we would ride even farther and go down to where the insane asylum was, the Essendale.
Yeah.
And we'd stand with our nose pressed against the chain link fence, looking at people walking around in there going, there's a crazy person. They're probably just people who work there. But to us, they're all crazy people because they all were white.
Yeah, and there are people looking out the windows looking at you guys going, look at those crazy people.
Look at those crazy kids. What are they doing? Rode all that way here. Now all that place we used to ride through is all houses. But at that time, it was all just a wooded area we could ride around and have fun. Yeah, we used to just disappear for hours. You know, my mom was indifferent because everyone was in those days.
Yep.
It was an empty world when we were kids. The world was an empty place. You could lay on the road for 2 hours and no car came. You know,
yep.
That's what it felt like. It just felt like there was no one around.
Yeah, it was like it felt like the world when we were kids had less of a budget.
Yeah.
And then the world now is a sequel.
Yeah.
And they've just got a lot more budget for like, we got a lot more cars. We can afford a lot more extras.
Yeah.
Let's get them all in there.
Yeah.
It's like, it's basically the same plot.
Yeah.
But it's just like a lot more stuff in it. It's like the later Star Wars movies. You know, we just threw in more robots.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it felt like when we grew up, we grew up in the set of the Avengers. You know, whereas no one ever was around, you know. It was just a different world. Like, it's just hard to imagine or explain to someone who wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do try to tell my daughters about it sometimes. Like, you know, I say, well, it's hard to imagine just how empty, you know, like, there was a tenth of the population here that when I was a kid. So it was the same amount of roads, same amount of, you know, everything was the same.
Yeah, Vancouver on a Sunday, I would go to workshops, I'd come out and no one would be on Granville Street.
Yeah.
Like the idea that no one would be on Granville Street and I could like walk up Granville Street, everything's closed.
Yeah.
No one's there.
Yeah.
There's no cars. There's no nothing. Yeah, that seems ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, but that was the case. And now it's all beep, 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 beep.
Yeah, no, which is an improvement. Well, I know that you like restaurants being open and stuff like that. So I
do.
I guess you like it better that way.
I do much.
I actually like that. I like that kind of quietness that comes from that feeling. I just like that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe because it reminds me, like when I was a boy, when I was like going through school, it was my favorite thing to do. This is weird. Was to stay late at school for whatever reason, detention perhaps. But I didn't like being at school, but I loved to leave school late and walk home in the fall when it was just starting to get dark and just to walk in the kind of gloomy, sort of near nighttime.
Yeah.
And the bare trees and the wind and the sort of steely gray skies. I love that feeling.
Well, I still like...
I felt like Charlie Brown.
I still like, you know, I'll walk to the seawall. Like I'll go to where the aquarium is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll walk to the seawall from there and I'll walk that way to English Bay. And, you know, you see people every so often and a bike goes by, you know, every so often. But you do feel kind of alone. Like you feel like it's really peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just look out at the ocean and just like there's a lot of nothing there and you can just relax and be with your thoughts. There's places. And again, Stanley Park itself, you know, just go off the beaten path, walk in the woods and now you're as alone could be. And you might as well be there in the 70s or 60s or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's been no change. The raccoons don't, you know, change their hairstyle.
It's interesting. You sent me a link to a film. It was about a postman walking his beat in Vancouver in 64. So I wasn't even alive when this was filmed. But it's kind of interesting to see Vancouver for that time because he's in Vancouver. He's in basically the downtown area. So he's you know, delivering to businesses, but he's also delivering to houses. And I've forgotten the houses that used to be in the downtown area. Like a lot of them are gone now.
Yeah.
Like Davie Street used to have lots of houses on it. And it's almost impossible to imagine people living in a house in downtown. Like what? It's just amazing. And they didn't even look like that hoity-toity. Like you see this one lady, she's like wearing like a blanket or something wrapped around herself. Like, why are you sitting on your patio in a blanket?
Yeah, well, you're probably buying your house
porch,
for,
I guess I should
you
say.
Know, if it's the early 60s, you're buying them for like about $12,000, $14,000.
If it's the early 60s, I think it'd be more than that, but maybe not.
My parents bought their house, and again, this is in Montreal, though.
Yeah.
They bought their house in 62, and they bought it for, I think like $11,000.
Okay.
And,
but they probably bought in the suburbs, not in Montreal proper.
That is true. So would you say 20,000 would be tops? Yeah. So, you know, I mean, and percentage.
It's still, but I mean.
It's a lot of money, but, you know, percentage-wise of what your salary was, you could, you know, conceivably pay that off in a couple of years. You could.
Yeah.
You know, whereas now you could not.
No.
It's just crazy, crazy, crazy bananas. Like you got to just figure a way of like actually getting rich. Like that's the only thing you can do is like figure out, I got to figure a way to actually get rich or this is not going to be able to happen.
I was so worried a couple weeks ago. Do you remember there was that $50 million prize, the lotto.
And
no one claimed it for a year.
Yeah.
We lost our ticket from that time. We couldn't find our. We bought a lotto ticket. I bought a couple. We bought a couple of them. We buy like a mix or whatever.
Yeah.
Quick pick of a few numbers, and we lost it. So you know, here they are saying, you know, last week to claim it. You know, you're just like, oh my god, someone better claim this, or I'm just gonna die. Because if we lost that ticket,
you and a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's the worst thing.
Yeah.
It's the worst feeling. It's also a great ad for the lottery.
Yeah, I guess.
You know,
so.
Just like you don't want to make this mistake, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, boy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you didn't buy it, you didn't buy it. You don't have a chance. But the fact that it was won by someone in Langley, where we live, you know, it was bought at this time.
Yeah.
When we lost our ticket. Whoa, man. But someone claimed it. I was actually relieved that we didn't win, you know, like, oh, thank God. Oh, because I probably washed it, you know.
Yeah, you wonder what life's like for those folks now. Like,
good.
Maybe. But then a lot of folk. Yeah, a lot of focus.
No, it's good. It's good
for a little while at least.
No, it's good.
No.
You think it's bad?
Well, a lot of the time, yeah.
Well, I think. Okay, here's the thing.
I think if you look percentage wise, I think if you like broke down statistics of like, you know, how it affects people and how things go. But yeah. I think especially when it's something like it's that much.
Yeah.
And it's that public.
Yeah.
You know, I think like winning the lottery a little bit under the radar and then like, oh, there you go. But then that's a real
ring. Yeah, you can't, they won't let you.
Every relative everyone. Oh, yeah, boy. It's, I don't know. Everything I've read about.
My family's not that close.
Good. I mean, if you know what you want to do with it and you're not thinking of it as like solving all the, it's a tough one.
No, I agree with you. I mean, and I know for you, I mean, you'd like to get rich because you'd like to buy a house. But you want to do it on your own terms, your own hard work, your own talent.
Or maybe even not hard work, just work.
Just work. Your own,
yeah, I'll take,
how about I say talent?
I'll take it for easy
work. How about
I
say talent? Your own talent, your own.
I want to cause and affect it. Yeah.
Yeah. You just don't want it. Someone to, you know, just God to bring it down and hand it to you. See, I'd like it on a golden platter, just hand it to me. That'd be fine. I'd take it either way. I'll take it through my talent.
And then what would you do? There you go. $50 million. Boom. And here
well,
you go.
See, it's impossible to say because here's the thing. You're going to be reasonable. You're going to say, I don't think it would have changed my life that much. But at the same time, you're thinking to yourself, well, I know it's going to change my life a lot.
How many calls do you get from relatives?
Not a ton.
Really?
I don't have a lot of relatives.
You're
really.
The guy with $50 million?
I don't have a lot of relatives.
Okay. Like, you're going to get a lot of calls from charities. Lots.
Okay.
You're going to get a lot of calls from people who want you to invest in things.
Yeah.
Lots.
Yeah.
Your phone number is public.
Yeah.
So you'd be instantly contacted by a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Same through Facebook, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, if you ever try to phone me, you know how often I answer my phone. But it's I mean, that's all terrible, for sure. That's all terrible. But it's all filterable, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are people you can put in your way that can field all those sort
that
of things.
True.
And I think the person who took a year to claim their prize was getting their ducks in a row before they claimed it.
Mm.
So, you know, they went to a financial advisor, they went to an accountant, they talked to a lawyer.
Oh, is that true? Did they do all those things?
Yeah.
Good.
And so they, you know, so you put your ducks in a row. So when you claim your money, you have, you know, you already have a plan in place. It's not just going to go crazy time. You know, like I know for us, when I say we're not going to change our lives that much, I know for a fact that there is a large property in Langley that Lisa would love to own. So I know that if that happened, we happen to win like a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's, you know,
so
I'm not going to change my life that much. We're just going to buy a, you know, 60 acre horse farm. But
right.
Other than that, your life's not going to change.
Do you quit your job?
Oh, yeah.
Does she quit her job?
Oh, yeah.
What do you do during the day?
Sneaky Dragon.
We do it full time?
Oh, I mean, I wouldn't give up doing this.
No, I got that.
Yeah.
But we're not doing Sneaky Dragon every day.
No, but I just mean, my dream would be to my life become more creative. You know, so I would have more time to do things that I would love to do, you know.
So you would, what would you do that would be creative then?
Well, I would love to draw comics. Like, I'd like to have time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, time in the day to sit down and draw comics where it's not, you know, dishwashing time and laundry time and bedtime, you know, and family time. And just
right.
things like that, you know, are important too, you know, that take up the time that where I'm not working. I work an 8-hour day and then I do other things and then, you know.
Right.
It's hard to fit in things that you value, but it's hard to get those.
It's weird when I see the ads for, you know, the lottery.
That just seems dumb, but yeah, go on.
Well, there's a woman who's like, you know, says the, you know, I'd call all my friends and I'd spend more time, you know, reading books and doing this. And I was like.
What's stopping you?
Yeah, what's stopping you? Like all the things that she says are things that you could do.
Yeah.
You know, that money isn't, having like $20 million isn't going to make you read books faster.
And you know, if you have $20 million, maybe your friends don't want to see you.
Yeah, maybe. That's a possibility. But that's one level of, and I think that's a counter to the old Lotto ads, which were, you know, someone's driving in a car and then someone's chasing them in a helicopter.
Yeah.
And it's like, both of them have so much money that this is what they're doing for fun. You go like, well, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Now you're just
wasting your money.
Stupid wasting money.
Yeah.
And it's like, so they countered with this other set of ads and it's like, well, you don't need money for that.
Yeah.
So now, listen, lottery, you've got to give me an ad.
Yeah.
It shows me that sweet spot. Where you just go, we're going to take care of your bills.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
You never
have to worry about bills again. Okay, now fill me in no more. You'll be able to travel if you want to travel. All right, I like it. And travel well.
Yeah.
Like it. Like what you're saying. comfortable house. I understand that. I'm all for that. You know, but yeah, they always do things like you're having dinner on a mountain. It's just like, shut up. Shut up. Don't be crazy, millionaire.
Yeah.
Now if you get killed up there, everyone's going to read your story and go, good, good. I'm glad a bear attacked them.
Yeah.
Or they haven't. They're having sirloin steaks, Kobe beef on top of a mountain with a butler. Well, good, good. I'm glad the bear attack happened.
Yeah.
And
well, they still have those commercials because they have that one with the guy with the flying suit that like flies down off a mountain and then lands in a plaza in some sort of resort, ski resort area or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he goes up to gets a coffee. And then he gets back onto the lift to start it again. And then, you know, you're just like, what? That's your life now?
Yeah. Like, well, I think there's one, too, that also is one of those, like a hang gliding one.
Yeah.
But it's a whole, you know, they won the lottery, these couples. So now they can get married. And now they're going to this, like, I don't know, like, I want to say cult, but it's not a cult. They're like some religious retreat where they're on a mountaintop and they're spiritually getting enlightened. And then the next thing is like, she's painting a picture with their children and he's like, and hang gliding with her dad who finally likes him. And just, what kind of bullshit is this?
He bought his love.
Yeah. What kind of bullshit is this?
Yeah. It's not.
You know, I think the problem is, like, when people win the lottery, their thing is, then I won't have to do blank anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't think, and then I'll do blank some, I'll,
see,
you know.
I'm sort of the opposite, because my thing isn't what I won't do, it's what I will do.
Right.
Know? But I think all of us have that fantasy of winning the lottery. And it's not something that you shouldn't have fantasy. I mean, it's not healthy to fantasize about it often, but every once in a while, it's fun just to kind of think, you know. Gee, if I won the lottery, what would I do?
Yeah.
What kind of car would I buy? Or would I buy a car? Would I just keep my car? Would I have that kind of self-restraint just to keep a car that I like? It's a perfectly good car.
Right.
Maybe get some work done on it. But other than that, it's fine. Or would I go crazy and have to go buy a Lamborghini, which I don't like, so that wouldn't happen. But, you know.
And then how much of the money do you keep? And then you feel like you could really help people with this. What do you do with that?
Exactly.
You know, then it's like, oh, there's the ethics of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're broke, you don't have to deal with that problem.
That's not a question at all, right? Like, what do you do with that money? Yeah, like, I mean, I've known very wealthy people, like incredibly wealthy people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. They don't have to work, but they do work.
Yeah, all of them do work that I know that are wealthy,
and
too.
The people that I've known who are really, really wealthy were people who went to our church, you know. And so I know that they contribute a lot of money to the church.
Mm-hmm.
They never talked about it. They were never named, but I just kind of know that. You know, they never say anything, but you just kind of know. You're like, well, who could be giving that kind of that person.
Collection plate's coming.
Yeah.
And they do the, and then you just see like a big thing, a stack of cash is floating by. And you're like, oh, what are you?
Everyone does electronic transfer now, or electronic, you know, debit or whatever, the direct debit kind of things nowadays.
Is that right? There's no collection plate?
There is a collection plate, but it's not the way it used to be. Most people put in these little green cards that show that they give.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's not like they don't have that machine that comes by at a restaurant.
Yeah,
you
that's
put
right.
your thing and you got to punch in the code.
That would be handy.
Because
I started doing the direct deposit too because it's so hard to organize having money in your wallet when you get to church. Like, you're like, what do I got in my wallet? $100. I don't want to give a $100 bill.
Yeah.
And then I'm not going to give, you know, it's ridiculous.
You can't take change out.
Yeah, that's right. Well, but it also have envelopes.
Yeah.
Because you put in an envelope and then it tallies how much you give. So then you get a tax receipt at the end of the year. So you can get your 25% back or whatever you get.
Yeah.
But when you think about it, you obviously don't think I would buy this kind of car because you don't care about cars, right?
You know what? I do, you know, sometimes. Sometimes I think about that.
Is that right?
Yeah, a little bit.
So what kind of car?
I would try to get one of those cars that doesn't run on gas. I'd like to get like one of those cars.
What are those? Like the
Basically, Tesla? Electric car, like, yeah. Or you know, if I'm crazy rich, I'd like to get one of the ones that runs on like vegetable oil or some business.
Okay.
Yeah.
They smell. They're really smelly.
You smell the French fries.
Yeah.
It smells great. It smells like the peony.
Sounds okay.
All year long.
It sounds okay for a while, yeah. And then it doesn't sound so great.
Well, you know what doesn't smell good, too, is exhaust coming out of the pipe.
You don't smell that.
Don't you?
You're in your car.
Fair enough.
But
yeah, I'm not a big car guy. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah. So you have kind of a nerd fantasy of like driving a silent car.
No, I just like the idea of like if I'm going to have a car, I'd like to have a car that, you know, I don't feel guilty about.
Feel guilty because electric car is also a destructor to the environment. So don't worry about it.
Yeah, okay.
They're all doing their job.
Sure.
Electricity doesn't come from nowhere. So.
Yeah, the vegetable oil one I think is probably pretty good. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Vegetables.
There might be that pee one soon. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, what's
peeing.
A better use?
You like peeing, don't you?
What's a better use driving, of what's a better use of vegetables? Making oil for cars or being used to feed people?
Oh, that's a good point. But wait a second. Is there a thing called climate change? We'll see. There's one balances the other. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think about it. But what I think about are things like, what you said there, like travel without worry, without the headache of how can we afford this? You know, what's the cheapest hotel I can get in Paris? You know, that doesn't have bed bugs. You know, that's all.
But then, if you fly, do you fly first class? Do you fly coach? Do you fly second class? Do you feel like a dick if you're flying first class? Do you feel like that kind of jerk? It just feels
See, those are questions.
You're going to have regular person. Listen,
that's funny. Those aren't questions I've ever thought.
But you're going to, because you're going to have regular person money thoughts, right?
Yeah.
And you're going to be like, well, all right, I'm going, and like, because the fantasy is we're going to go first class all the way.
That's not my fantasy, though.
No, but it will be when you're booking the tickets. Yeah, it's just like, well, what type of tickets do you want? You can either have the seats where it's fold down and do this and vibrate your butt. Do you want those, or do you want like second class, which is just regular, nice, comfortable seats, or do you want crappy back seats? Well, I don't want crappy back seats. So you want the middle. I think that's where all these middle seats now come from, where you don't have first class. I mean, you feel like a jerk in the first, but you feel like, well, I'll take the second. That's okay. Yeah. You know, I don't feel like an ass. And also, because you've come from not having wealth, money means stuff to you. So I think like even no matter how wealthy you are, if you're paying, it's $3,000 a ticket for your flight. Or $1,500 a ticket.
Oh,
well, I want $1,500. Well, it doesn't really matter to you because it doesn't hurt you. I know, but
no, you're right. You'd still have the sort of cheapness to you.
Yeah, you'd just be trying to pull that bill out of your. Yeah. Unless you make the mistake of blowing through the money, which is what most people do with the lottery.
Yeah.
Because you feel like it's going to come back and it won't, and then it's just like once the money's done.
Yeah. It's a problem. That's why you want the big wins. You don't dream about. That's
it's
why
even
no
the
one
big wins.
No one fantasizes about the little wins. Because it all would be nice. I mean, you would take it.
Of course you would.
You wouldn't say no.
I'll pick a $5 bill off the street.
I'm not taking that $5 bill.
What am I talking? I'll pick a quarter off the street. I'll take it. Of course you take it. But the ideal thing is then it's
you're Mr. Negative. Let us all keep our little perfect world of flying off to Europe and the drop of a hat.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be hard to do because the thing is, I think to myself, if I won, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I could do this and this and that. And then be like, oh, no, but I got to do Sneaky Dragon. So we'd have to like plan shows ahead and stuff like that. Oh, I'm not going to travel.
You just bank some.
Forget it.
Take the weekend off. Record 5. It'd be fine. You'd be all right. So it's okay. How would you improve Sneaky Dragon? Would you make it a video podcast? Would you add animation to it? What would you do?
I would.
Would you hire assistants to draw your title cards for you?
No.
You could just tell them what to do. Just give them the gist. How many comic conventions would you go to? How many podcasting conventions would you go to?
Yeah, I would definitely make us go to podcasting.
How much? How many pieces of Beatles memorabilia would you buy?
None.
None? None. Really none?
Really none.
Okay.
Not interested in that kind of stuff. So how many Beatles records would I buy? Well, I have them all, so I don't need to buy any more. But, still, I'm not going to be that guy, that weird guy who buys like all the white albums he finds or whatever.
Okay.
I don't, that's not interesting to me. I do like to collect things, but I like to collect things because I'm interested in them.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I heard them, then it's less interesting,
But as a collector, then there's nothing that would be beyond your reach. So you don't get that collecting, the joy of the finding and the hunt. It's like, I've heard about this thing. Oh, you can afford it.
Yeah.
The end.
Yeah, that, but I mean, what I'm interested in doing isn't really that expensive. I'm not questing to get, pieces of Hergé art. I would just like to have all his books, which, in French, let's say.
But if you could get a piece of Hergé art, would you? Framed on your wall?
If I was that.
Nice piece of Hergé.
Yeah.
There you go. That's how it starts, Dave.
That's how it does start.
Hey, you know,
it?
The second page of that book is available for sale. Oh, well,
it's fine.
Dave, it's less than the first one.
No, that's fine.
Considerably.
I got it. I've got it.
Okay, that's fine.
I mean, if you said, would you like a piece of Charles Schultz art on your wall?
Yeah,
yes, I would.
Like that? Oh, very good.
I would.
Some cyborg eyes. Want some cyborg eyes in your head?
No.
Oh, you can really see the art well.
No, I don't care.
Okay.
But no, like that, I would like that, but I wouldn't want, you know, a million Peanuts cartoons on my wall. That doesn't make any sense to me. But yeah, to have a couple of those things that are really meaningful to me, that would be interesting, you know, but I don't, but that's because I enjoy looking at it. There's no purpose for me to like bid on Beatles lyrics. Mm-hmm. I don't enjoy looking at Beatles lyrics. I enjoy the music that's freely available in all kinds of different
ways.
Well,
you don't like the lyrics is the thing.
I do like the lyrics, but I just...
Oh, you said on the show you didn't like the lyrics.
I'm just not a super lyrics guy.
Roll the tape back, everybody. Let's listen to it.
I am interested in the lyrics.
One of Paul's guitars. He's getting rid of it.
No.
He's getting rid of it. It's $500. Do you want it? $500.
No, I don't.
You don't want it?
I can't play guitar.
$500? You don't want one of Paul McCartney's guitars?
No.
Really?
I don't.
Are you used on one of the albums that you love?
You don't
want that?
That's not the record, though.
So you don't want it?
No.
Oh, it's going for $500. You sure you don't want it?
Okay, when A, it would never go for $500, so that's ridiculous.
Well, I was going to start bumping up the price then. I was going to go, oh, I'm sorry, it's now $1,000. Are you still good for it?
No, I wouldn't be interested in that.
Okay, sounds fair enough.
I wouldn't be interested. Would you be interested in something like that? Would you want to buy, like,
I'm not really
memorabilia?
Memorabilia from movies, yes. I like that.
You do like that.
I would probably buy props from movies that I liked, yes.
See, because to me, that's not the movie. I know it's a part of the film in some way, but it's not the movie. It's not.
We own a piece of Dr. Octopus's arm from Spider-Man 2, which is one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's kind of a fun thing to have. And like, hey, you know, we saw that for a good deal. And so we have bought other props just because they're a good cheap price for props. So I've got like props from like XXX, but like just because they were like rubber knives and stuff that were useful for other purposes.
Yeah.
But yeah. And I think Pia bought a surfboard from Charlie's Angels too, because it was a cheap surfboard. I was like, ah, why not? But then it was broken. And I was like, ah, that's fine. We're going to use it for something else.
All right. Well, I guess. I don't know. I'm not interested in
that. I
would
buy original comic art, I would say, probably. If there was something from like the comics that I liked, you know, I'd do that.
So who? Like, for instance?
I would buy some Ross Andrew art from the old Spider-Man.
Really? Ross Andrew?
I mean, that was kind of my Spider-Man growing up. Yeah. I like that a lot.
That's obscure. You could probably get a good deal on that.
It wasn't.
You could probably afford it now.
He wasn't that obscure. He had a really long run, Ross Andrew.
Yeah, but I'm sure that art is pretty affordable even now.
Could be. You know, I mean, if I could get any of the John Romita stuff, absolutely. Beautiful stuff. I love, anything with Jack Kirby and Joe Sinnott together. Mm-hmm. I love a little of that. Fantastic Four.
Nice stuff.
Oh, yeah. Sweet. I'd go for a bit of that. Yeah. It'd be nice.
Interesting. Yeah. Not interested in that. I do like Kirby.
It's also nice, that kind of art I like seeing on a wall because you can see how it was done too.
Mm-hmm.
And I like something like that going from, it becomes almost achievable. You look at it and just go, oh, this was done by people.
Yeah.
It was made and it just connects you with stuff. And
it's interesting. I have this, I'm sure we'll talk about it in the show, but I have this book of Hergé art, Tintin art. And you can see it's just like photostats of the actual pages. And you can see all the whiteout he uses, like so much whiteout, because he's whiting out excess lines, which is really interesting. It's like, don't need these lines, just get rid of them. Wrinkles, get rid of these clothes wrinkles, stuff. Just amazing.
Okay, a person downstairs goes, hey, Dave, our bookstore is about to go out of business. We just need a little bit of money to keep the bookstore going. You're the multimillionaire, and you'd be part owner in a bookstore. Would you do that? Would you go for that?
I have to talk to Lisa about it, obviously, but I would be interested.
Yeah.
I would be interested.
How about a record store? Would that interest you?
Yep.
Yeah. There you go. That's okay. Cool.
But that's different. I mean, that's an investment. That's not a...
That's an investment. It's true. What if it wasn't an investment? What if you knew it would always like lose a little bit of money, but it wouldn't lose that much money, but it would lose a little bit of money. Basically, like you're the guy in Seattle, the Microsoft guy who likes the movie theater and decides to buy it, even though it's at a loss and will continue to be a loss, but he loves that movie theater so much that he wants to keep it going. And so you just buy it because you've got enough money and you can afford it. And now you've got a movie theater that you love because it's something that you love. Just like a bookstore or a record store.
No.
You would not keep a record store going that was losing money.
No.
You would have to be making money.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, because I can't. Why would you want to support a bad business?
Because it promotes the type of thing, like the thing that you love, like music. Now it's a... It's
yeah, but I mean, you could have a person run a competently run record store and make money. Well, shouldn't that be the person you support?
If that exists, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of businesses that are kind of, their business model is going kind of out a la, you know, video stores now, no. Right?
Bad video stores are going out of business.
Oh, there's not... All right. So only bad video stores are going out?
Well, I just mean badly run... Like places that don't make sense as a business are going
anymore.
There are still video stores.
They were all ones that were vital and thriving.
Sure,
5 years
I mean they
ago.
Were bigger, but there's still video stores. You know, there's still video stores that are out there that are still renting videos.
Is there any in like your? Didn't you say the last one?
The last one in Aldergrove closed, unfortunately. But there is one in Langley that I go to now.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're smaller than they used to be. They used to be quite a big store. Now they've reduced the size.
I could see running a store at a bit of a loss if I, you know, was again. I get my crazy billionaire fantasies. There's a bit of something.
Yeah, you're talking crazy billionaire. We're just talking crazy millionaire.
How much money have I got?
Let's say you win $50 million in the lottery.
$50 million? Yeah. Oh, I could swing that then. All right. Yeah, $50 million is. I could allocate $5 million to keeping businesses that I like open for at least a decade. Yeah, longer than they should be. Sure, could do that. Sounds good.
I
would probably also build a public pool that the city was supposed to build and lied to us about that can be built for $1.5 million right now. I'd probably build that. That's one of my crazy millionaire fantasies.
You would be like a Morris Wask or one of the sort of Jack Diamonds who have contributed to buildings and stuff in the city. You'd want to be one of the sort of...
I'd be that.
It'd be the Ian Boothby pool.
It would be the thing
Ian
where...
Ian Boothby Memorial Pool.
Here's what happened to me. Did I drown in the pool? Am I okay? Stop killing me off.
Your partners buried you in the cement.
Oh,
the
my
pool.
God. I hate this scenario. This is terrible. No, but like...
You shouldn't have gone in with those guys.
Our thing in our neighborhood was, the public pool was being shut down because it was slightly cracked.
Yeah.
And they went, but you know what? When the funding comes, we're going to rebuild it. But in the meantime, we're just going to put some park space in here, but it's going to come back, says everybody.
Yeah.
Lie.
Oh boy, they lie.
And then later they go like, it would cost $1.5 million, but if we get that, then we'll build it. It would be lovely as crazy millionaire to go, here's the money, do it. Or call yourselves liars right now. Like okay. Go into a meeting and go like, here it is, build the damn thing, do it.
But see, now, when I look at it, I look at it from a poor person perspective. I look at it from a cheap person perspective.
Okay, please
right?
put on some poor people clothing.
I have poor people clothing on.
You dress very well for a poor person. It looks very nice.
Well, I got this sweater
off a hobo.
Yeah, I stole it from a hobo. No, I just bought it like at a store that resells stuff that didn't sell at Costco. So
it's called Nosco.
It was a bargain.
All right.
It was called Nosco, did you say?
Yeah, it's not Costco.
Nosco Valley of the Wind?
Yes.
And so...
I'm now trying to think of what the alien ship was called to do a callback to that, but I cannot.
Nostromo.
Damn it! Something was there. Couldn't put it together. You know what I would do if I was a millionaire? I would go back, edit this show, and add more jokes. I would take all of our
add past, your jokes.
I would add my jokes to all the past episodes. I would like pepper them all.
Okay.
I would have someone listen to them, write them all down, say where there's some lulls. I would then go back in, loop in better jokes.
There are never lulls in our show.
Okay.
I can't help but think of it as, like you say, it's a finite resource, and I would have a hard time quote unquote, throwing money away on something that was just going to lose me money, mm-hmm. not make, if it was a break even, that's fine.
Right.
But if I'm just losing money on it.
Well, I would feel that like if it was a music store or a bookstore or a video store, it is bringing people happiness and joy because mm-hmm. they get to see these movies or books or music and they would not have that opportunity otherwise. And so that would probably give me enough satisfaction that it would be worthwhile for me. I think like joy over money, that's a good trade.
Yeah. I mean, well-run versions of all those stores you're talking about can survive.
In Portland, the end.
Well, no, everywhere.
Where? Like where?
Here, we have a bookstore downstairs from us that's doing thriving. I assume they have another outlet that does well as well. There's lots of, it's a used bookstore, but also sells new books as well, which is a good model. Mm-hmm. It's a good model to follow. I mean, Amoeba Music down in Los Angeles,
yes.
And San Francisco.
And we do have a couple of record stores around here.
They sell a mix of new and used. Powell's Books, which is a huge success in Portland, sells a mix of new and used. It's a good model nowadays. So if you go to Zulu Records here in Vancouver, which is a very good record store. They do that. They sell a mix of new
and used. And they now have Videomatica as part of them.
That's
which,
right.
You know, which seemed like it was a well-run video store. It just
the problem for them. The problem for them wasn't that it wasn't a well-run video store. It was its location. It was located in a place that at one time had a very low rent. It was a low rent neighborhood that was kind of a hippie haven. You know, had a lot of thrift stores and used bookstores and stuff like that. And now it's a trendy shopping district. And so the rents went through the roof and made it much more difficult for those kind of places to last.
Dave, I understand about this. I've been what you call a renovictor. Let me explain that. I'm hep to that. It's a creeping. Yeah. It's this creeping wealth. Then just like, you know, now it's time for you to go out of this neighborhood. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how long you've been there.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's time for you to go, buddy. Yeah. Sorry. Like once they paid over the pool and they took down the community center from there, it just felt like, well, this is all getting too fancy now. Yeah, we're done.
Yeah.
You know, now everything's getting condoized and this, that, and the other. And the little houses are getting paved over and now it's condos. And you feel like everyone else in the world complaining about the same fucking thing. But it is really a bummer. It's a huge bummer to just go, this has been your neighborhood, and then the neighborhood goes, it's not your neighborhood anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you're not wealthy enough.
Yeah.
So go, get out of here. Well, I thought there's things I could actually point out that I helped make. Yeah, that's nice. Thanks for fixing up the place. It's not for you anymore. Okay, go. You're going to get out of here. Get lost. Shh. And I think proportionately it's happening faster in Vancouver than most other places.
Now you know how old people feel.
Yeah. But I go to Halifax and I don't, you know, again, housing prices go up, but not in any way comparative to the way it is here.
We live in a fake economy.
We do.
We're like Pacific Islanders who are trading puka shells, and now the Dutch have come with their gold, you know. And now,
well, Dave, everyone says that. That's the example.
Is that right?
No, okay. Of course not. That's just... puka shells for gold. It's on everyone's bumper sticker, Dave.
But it's true. I mean, that's what we are. We were people, I mean, we were talking about how empty it was here. It, you know, it was so empty that the value of the land was nothing. It was the house that was expensive. Mm-hmm. Like you go to Langley and there's all these tiny houses because it was expensive to build a house. The land was cheap. You could get an acre and a half, whatever you wanted, you know. But putting the house upon it, that was expensive. And build it close to the road. Because, man, you got to bring all the utilities to the house. That's expensive. So don't build it far back. You build it close so that you're close to the telephone lines and the power lines. That's, you know, don't be crazy. Don't get spending your money too much because that's a lot of money. You know, that's the attitude. Nowadays, it's just like if you buy like farmland, you know, the first thing you do is destroy it. You destroy the farm. That's just happened to a farm I've loved for a long time. And I used to go, it's right across the street from what used to be the game farm. It's now the Greater Vancouver Zoo. I went there as a kid with my grandma. They were family friends of my grandma. And I just remember going there to their barn and having this calf loving my arm so much. It was like licking, it had half my arm in its mouth. You know, it was just loving, licking it so much.
And you just found out it was a perverted man and a cow out
there. That's right. That was disturbing. Thank you for that image too, by the way.
Okay.
And I've always had like an affection for that place. And now it, you know, they got old, obviously. They're my grandma's age, she's also old and in a home. And they got old and they had to leave their home and they sold their home. And now their home is this beautiful old barn, dairy barn, you know, from the 50s, torn down. The house, I'm sure, is going to get knocked down and big stucco pellets put up. And they're just plowing all the land down and all the trees are getting cut down. And everything nice about it is gone. It's just going to be this big barren field, you know, with probably blueberries on it. Let's face it, that's the cash crop of today because it's very easy to do, I guess.
And people will pick them themselves.
And people will, well, they don't pick them themselves. They hire people at very low wages to come and pick them.
But they also sometimes do the U-pick.
Oh, the U-pick, yeah. It's just a sort of endless, you know, depressing reality of modern life is that everything old has no value. So, so look out. We're getting pushed out the door too. Some young podcasters are coming up to.
Sometime. What we're doing will be, whatever the next thing will come.
Yeah.
We got to keep an eye out for it, man.
Yeah.
Got to keep an eye out. They'll go, hey, look.
Why, we have no idea.
They're a podcaster. Well, you will, because we do live in the information age. All you got to do is actually pay attention to it.
It'll just run us over.
Yeah, it's fine. You know, you can duck out of the way. It's fine.
The car. Thanks for asking. The car I would get. Is a 1969 or 1970. I'm not too picky on that.
Well, 69 will have more jokes.
That's true. The 69 or 1970 Dodge Charger. with a 440 six pack. That's what I would. That's what
I would
get.
Lot of beer. Why would you want to have that?
The six pack was the carburetor.
Oh, very good. Thank you.
Had a yes. Had, had three dual carbs.
Does it have seat belts?
Yeah, the 1969 and 70 would have seat belts, right. But the 69 would have a choice. You could use. You would have a separate lap belt from the shoulder belt.
Ah, uh-huh, okay.
And so I had a 71, and I had that as well. I had a separate. The shoulder belt was different from the lap belt, but because I didn't want to lose my teeth, I always wore the shoulder belt as well. Yeah. You know, I recognize the value of the seat belt, unlike people from the 1970s. I don't need this thing. This will kill you. But yeah, that would be the car I would want to get.
All right.
But the thing is that I would still be looking for like a bargain in that car. I would be like, I'm going down to the auction, you know, where those cars go for $250,000 or whatever. No, I'd be like, where can I get a cheap car like this that I like, you know? I got to find a cheap
one. Yeah, look at the Adam Carollas and the Jay Lenos and just see, you know, that's where they put all their money is cars. Just cars,
yeah,
cars,
that's,
cars.
That's a fetish. You know, that's,
do you think it's a fetish?
Yeah.
Do you think they go and they do fetishy things with
their
cars?
No, I don't mean like that. I just mean it's a mania. It's like a collecting mania for them. Like there's no reason for it. It's just
I think there is a
perverse
reason for it. Let me tell you what I think the reason is. It's like you make a certain amount of money,
yep,
and you can feel it. You can feel like if I said, Dave, I'm going to give you $1,000, you'd go, I know what $1,000 feels like.
Yes.
If I said, I'm going to give you $10,000, you'd go, oh, okay, I know what that'll buy.
Yeah.
I got it. $100,000, I can sort of grasp that. Okay, here we go. And I'll go, $10 million, don't know how it feels. Weird.
Yeah.
And then if you start getting into money beyond that, it just feels like it's in a bank somewhere.
Yeah.
You trust that it's there, but it doesn't feel like anything.
No.
Whereas if you buy cars, you can always go out and see your cars and go, this is what I have.
This is my money.
It looks real.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a certain point, I think, where it just becomes unreal and you've got to like have something that grounds you and go, it's real. Otherwise, ugh. And those, I think, like someone like a Jay Leno, who used to get paid in cash, you know, doing stand-up.
Yeah.
Money, that much crazy. Like he doesn't, you know, he always says he never spent his Tonight Show money. Because he's scared of, you know, being poor. He's got that paranoia. He's got that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, like, you are you going to trust that your money in your bank isn't going to get poof? Like, who knows? That's a real trust game. You know, who knows? It might just go away. So, you know, I've got these cars.
Yeah.
I've always got the cars. And same thing, I think, with Adam Carolla. And also, he likes to tinker on them, both of them. Like, you know, something.
Oh, that's a
big
thing.
It makes you feel real. It makes you feel like a real guy, whereas, like, you go out into the showbiz world and it's all just so crazy that you want to, like, I just want to fix a car. I just want to, like, strip a car down. I want to build it back up. I want to see what's wrong with it. I want to fix a problem in a car. You just feel like, you just feel real. And I think.
No, I can understand that because I would be the same in terms of, like, a woodwork shop. I would want to buy, you know, have a nice woodworking shop that I could make things in, you know. And I wouldn't necessarily make a lot of stuff, but I would always have that as a, you know, thing I could do, you know. I could make some bookshelves or I could make some whatever, more bookshelves.
Well, let me throw that out.
That I buy.
Let me throw that out as a question to our listeners. If you had money, what would you buy?
No. This is a better question.
Oh, okay.
If you had
money, would you buy a better question?
Yes.
I would like to buy a better question.
If you had money, who would you give it to, me or Ian? That's the real question.
Give it to me.
The answer is me. The answer is Dave.
No, I'll do really interesting films and stuff with it. You'll really enjoy them.
Dave will
go into his wood shop and he will just whittle weird little pornographic things out of wood.
You've made it sound so appealing that I'm definitely going to get the money now.
Okay, fair enough.
Thank you.
No, but what would you do? Like, what do you have a lottery dream and is it, you know, what is it for? What would be your thing to do?
Yeah. Not what will you stop doing, but what will you do with it?
Yeah, I mean, my thing definitely.
We all know that you won't work after you win the lottery. That's a given.
Well,
what will you do after that?
I always like Ryan Stiles, you know, building a small, not building, but like
buying a
doing
theater.
A small theater in Bellingham. Like he likes living there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he set up an improv kind of comedy space there. Whenever he wants to perform with friends, he can perform there. But then, you know, he has other shows going on there. And, you know, his money doing Whose Line and what have you and the Drew Carey Show, that pays for that. So, you know, he keeps it simple.
So does he, but he has, is it staffed? Does he have a staff? Like he has
it's a regular theater.
He has a theater director and he has a,
I don't know if
person who programs the stuff.
He does have, he has everything that a theater would have.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime he wants to go and do a show and drop by or, you know, do a workshop or whatever, he does it. And that to me feels, that feels like.
So if they're doing like a month-long performance of the Gold Diggers of 1933, he just will drop by and join the show.
I don't think they would do that.
Oh, okay.
I don't think they do set plays, but they would do sketch stuff. They would do improv. They would teach workshops. And the other nice thing about that is you're helping them build performers. You know, so you get some good improvisers happening in Bellingham, and that just makes, you know, your form better too.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be kind of my dream, is to build like a comedy space here mm-hmm. that could do shows regularly. You know, that would be fun. And also do and, short films. And, do
and some... would it pay the performers?
Yeah, we would pay the performers. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice of you.
To me, really nice of me. I think you should pay your performers.
To me, that money down the drain. That's what that sounds like to me.
Do you think so?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
Because it'd be expensive and you wouldn't make money.
Well, here's the thing. I spent most of my life working for a company that, I'm going to be blunt here, run by fucking incompetents, okay?
Okay.
And they, for the most part,
yeah.
paid us, okay? Yeah. At some points, I even got a living wage out of it.
Hmm.
And so I think it's possible. Because I've seen other people do
you.
It.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, you
I'm
know,
just teasing you. I think it would be good.
Good. Thanks. And I'm sorry for slamming the incompetent people. They can't help themselves.
Nope. Incompetence can't help themselves.
No. They basically took there was like an improv company. So it was like, they basically had, to, you know, no props. They you really have to have no set. You've yeah. got nothing except the performers. You just have to pay the performers.
Mm-hmm.
It's the cheapest business model in the universe, except possibly for a stand-up club.
Yeah.
And the problem with a stand-up club is you've got to fly new people in all the time because you run through your talent pool mm-hmm. too fast. But with improv, you're doing a new show every week, so you don't even have to do that. So even that expense is off the table.
Yeah.
So if you can't make money doing an improv with an improv company, holy moly, you're not a good business person.
No.
Yeah, you're not. Anyway, that's just me. So anyway, I think you could do that.
Okay.
And also nowadays, things are so cheap with, you know, recording devices and editing equipment that you can make, you know, your own
podcast?
Short films. Yeah, you can make podcasts. You can make short films. You can do a lot more. And I would like to throw a little more money into production values on those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to do that as well.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. I mean, if I won, my first thing I'd do would be buy a better computer and a big screen that I could see what I'm doing and a nice...
How big a screen are you looking for?
Like a 27-inch monitor, you know, kind of thing.
Have you thought of like a projector instead?
Why?
Well, because a projector is bigger than that.
I know, but is that good? Is it good to draw with a projector? It seems like a lot of... It's going to be hard to look at, this giant screen.
I do not know. I don't know how you draw. But I think, yeah.
Well, I just color, really. I don't really do a lot of drawing.
It sounds like you've got reasonable dreams that don't have to be millionaires.
No, no. I just need money, which I don't have. So
it sounds like you need a little money.
If you win the money, give me them.
I'll try and help you out. It sounds like things with the drawing, what you need is time. You need time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, money can buy you time.
Money buys you time.
Can buy you time. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes.
It just gives you another way to avoid working.
That's right. That's sometimes
true.
It does. You
that's
know,
true.
Again, there's, you know, listen, anyone out there, you know, who knows someone who has won the lottery, how to go for them? That's the other question. Anyway. Hey, Dave?
I know someone who, I don't know them personally, but I know someone. I knew them. Because I worked with them, but they won the lottery. They won $5 million.
Okay. Oh, that's not a great amount.
No, it's not a great amount.
That's the kind of amount that seems like a good amount, but it can be tough.
Yeah. It's a quit your job amount and then have to go back to your job amount because that's what happened.
You know?
You try to invest it, but you don't really know what to do with it because you're not really an investment person, you know, so then it doesn't go the way you want.
Yeah. No, that can be rough. Did they buy like a house or anything with that? They make a big
payment? I'm pretty sure that they, paid their, you know, they don't owe any money, but... They invested in a business that wasn't like the greatest idea. And
I think that's the drag is like one, if you have one, and again, it's tough to complain about winning the lottery, but once you've won the lottery, you know you're going to win the lottery again.
Yeah.
So the dream is gone.
Yeah.
So it's like, and now what? Yeah. Which is, you know, I sort of feel doing stuff, and it's weird, but stuff like this and stuff like, you know, writing things and putting them out there and putting cartoons out there and doing whatever and putting it out there, that to me is my lotto tickets every, you know, whenever I talk to Pia and she talks about winning the lottery, I'm just like, yeah, but we're putting lotto tickets out there all the time.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing, really.
Yeah.
You know, and like, we'll see what happens. And sometimes they win and sometimes they don't, but just keep putting it. And I'd rather be that than going down to the lotto counter and scratching.
The poor man's tax.
Yeah. Yeah. Though, there was a nice thing, though. We did, I'll tell you this before we wrap up. We did that James Bond show.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we did on it was, as you saw, was we had a scene where there were a lot of scratch and wins.
Yeah.
And then there was...
You were doing a parody of the gambling sequence where they were baccarat or poker. Right. Instead, they were playing scratch and win tickets.
And at the end of it, they just randomly scratched some stuff and then just kind of put the tickets down. And I collected them at the end of the night. A couple of winners in that.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. You know, I'm not saying there was like, woohoo, but it was, hey, so all right. So a little bit of the show paid for itself with that.
That's good.
So my advice to you is if you're doing a show, have lotto tickets in it. You can write off buying them and then you might win. So there you are.
There you go. Everyone's learned a lesson.
That'd be a funny TV show where like everyone on the show buys a lottery ticket. And at the end of the show, we just see if they just go, and fuck you at the end, and then they just leave.
Yes.
So I think we've reached our end. We're a little shorter than normal. We've cracked an hour, right?
I don't know.
I will tell you if we have or not. I want to make sure we're giving you good value. Yep, an hour and 1 minute. Now an hour and 2 minutes. Sorry, we went really long with our other podcast, so we're a little worn down. I got to take Dave to the drugstore and get some stuff for his sore tooth.
Yeah.
If any fans of the show are dentists, please let us know.
I'll try and get it fixed this
weekend. We may do a live pooth tooling. Nah, that's the problem. that's a sign of either a stroke or it's time to wrap up the show. Or maybe both.
Can you hear someone giving a toast?
There you go. Oh, that's interesting. I've never heard that before. That's very clever. I'm doing Write Club again on March 30th here in Vancouver. That's where you, the audience, if you feel like it, dress up as your favorite author. We recreate, using improvised comedy, scenes based on those authors.
Hmm.
And it's a lot of fun. Dave has dressed up as Jane Austen, Dashiell Hammett.
Yes.
Who will he be this time? Judy Blume? I don't know. I don't even know who's coming. But, you know, you can dress up and you might win something or just come and watch the show. Either way, we're happy to see you. It's only $5 and it's a lot of fun here at the Little Mountain Theater in Vancouver.
Yes. Well, we're seeing.
Yeah. And I'm also going to be doing and trying to get Dave to it as well. Vancouver Fan Expo, that is happening in early April. Some of you have already asked about Sneaky Dragon shirts. If you want to place an order for Sneaky Dragon shirts that you can like get in person, let us know on our website and we will get those shirts ready for you and have them first come, which is you, who is first served because they're reserved.
First come, first reserved.
First reserved, first served. Yes. That's what we're going to say.
First, yeah.
And if you want to contact us, we're at sneakydragon.com. Our message board is there. SneakyD at SneakyDragon.com is our website. Oh, not website, but email. And I'm really getting to the end here, folks. Sorry about this. But we're going to get through this. We're also on Facebook. We're also Sneaky_Dragon on Twitter.
Yes, we are. We're all those things.
Anything?
We're multifaceted.
Anything else you wanted to say, Dave?
I'm getting my hair cut on Saturday. So if anyone wants to come see me get my hair cut, come on down.
All right. Sounds good. Where are you getting that haircut?
Can't tell you.
Okay, so it is a bit of a, Where's Waldo?
It's more of a scavenger hunt than a...
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. You know what I say?
Mm-hmm.
Get your hair cut while you're at the dentist.
I should do that.
Get a little two for one.
Yeah.
Numb it up and
tooth for
it off.
One. Tooth for one.
Yeah, you know, that would be pretty cool. You'd probably get hair in your mouth. That would probably not be a good idea at all.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's probably why they don't double up that service.
That's right. Because you're leaning back as well, which would make it awkward for the hairdresser.
Do you think that would make it awkward?
Yes,
it seems like it would make it easier.
No.
Oh, well, awkward. I'm not a hairdresser. I don't know.
Because I think they want your hair to fall naturally so they know what they're doing.
All right. Fair enough. So next week, Dave will be here with a new haircut.
Yes.
And with less pain in his face.
And hopefully at the filling.
Okay. And I will be more stressed because I will be even deeper into the world of packing my stuff for the move.
Thanks.
So tune in for that. Thanks so much for listening. I've been Ian Boothby.
And I've been David Dedrick.
We appreciate your kind attention. Take care.
Ian does anyway.
welcome back to The Secret. After the theme song, we forgot something, and so we're actually adding it now, part of the show. If you've listened to the show and go, hey, what's this extra stuff at the end? This is what it is. Explain, Dave.
We had a question from a listener, Jen, who's being so kind of knitting us something, which we've only seen a glimpse of. So we're looking forward to that. But she asked us a question, and we have not answered it for about a month.
We tried to answer it last week. We did not have time.
We said
we would answer it this week. Yeah. We didn't. And so we must.
Because we have a terrible case of we're gabaholics.
Okay.
And we just keep talking all the time, and we never get to
what is the question?
So the question she asked was, is it wrong to lie to your children, supposedly, lie to your children, that there is a Santa Claus, to tell them that Santa Claus or Saint Nicholas or Father Christmas.
All right,
or whatever.
Now just to clarify our positions on this, as far as having children, you have two.
I have two.
I have none. Feels a little greedy that you're hogging two when I have none. Seems that's an easy thing to share, Dave.
Well,
and you didn't, and doesn't seem very Christmassy, frankly.
First reserved, first served.
That's true. Oh, by the way, on a complete side note, we just got a Christmas card today from Finland.
And worst mail service in the world?
Could be. It's the end of March, and so I do feel a little bit in the Christmas mood.
So that's good that we're asking this question.
Why don't you take first answer on this?
Well, I'll take first answer on this, which is that no, I don't think it's wrong to lie to children, because I don't think of it as a lie. I think of it as a game,
okay,
as a kind of fun thing. I don't feel like, I mean, there maybe is that kind of hammer moral aspect, you better be good or Santa Claus is not going to come for you.
Well, I mean, you and I have had discussions on here where you've said honesty is always the best policy.
Yes.
So is it, if it's just a fun game, though, does that eliminate that?
No, but I'm talking about honesty. I'm talking about candor or about not telling stories, or I'm talking about that you have to be truthful to each other about important issues, like something like, say, you spend all your wife's money.
Is there any issue?
And then you just create a whole lie and this complicated web of lies that sink you and her into deeper and deeper problems,
right?
Because you can't tell the truth about that. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, I'm glad you revealed that you have done that.
Yes. I should have used that as an example.
Okay, but when you're talking about important things in a child's life, is there anything more important around Christmas time than Santa?
No, I don't think so.
So you're lying about something that's the most important thing to that child's life. Like, here's my question to you.
Did you have Santa Claus when you were a kid?
We did. Yep, that's right.
And then, when you found out, did you feel like it was the greatest betrayal of your life?
No, what my parents said to me, okay, here's how they let me know, and I thought it was a bit weird, was I said, like, does Santa exist? And they asked, do you think Santa exists? And I go, no, I don't think so. Yeah, then he doesn't.
Well, I kind of gave a similar answer, but not exactly the same. When I think it was Phyllis more than Millis. I think Millis just stopped believing, but did it quietly because she didn't want. Didn't want Phyllis to know, the truth. And so, but Phyllis was suspecting that, you know, and I think she heard in the playground and stuff. And so she asked me. She'd say, "Dad, is there a Santa Claus?" And I said, "Well, you know, if you believe in him, he'll bring you gifts. It's as simple as that, you know. If you don't want to believe in it, then I guess that's, you know, it's because to me it's just a game.
No, wait a minute.
The game doesn't work.
No, it sounds like you're saying though.
Yeah.
If you don't believe in him,
yeah,
you don't get gifts.
Yeah.
That's awful. So you're asking her to lie to you because clearly she would get gifts.
No, not to lie to me.
Yes.
Not to lie to me. I don't care. I don't care either way. I think she already knew, like, you know, but. Is this a game we're playing?
Would you give her less gifts if she didn't believe?
No, of course not. They still get Santa Claus gifts.
Well, then you're not true. Then that's
they still
not
get
true.
Santa Claus gifts.
You get the same amount regardless.
Yeah, I know.
So you're not
I can't keep to that because it's...
Okay.
Because like you say, it was just... But, you know, I mean, what can you say? I don't want to say, no, there's not a Santa Claus to a girl that's still at an age where it's fun to believe in Santa Claus. I mean, eventually you get to an age where it's kind of not fun to believe in Santa Claus anymore. You know, no one else around you believes in it.
So if,
it seems like a kind of an irritating thing.
So if she comes up at like 6 or whatever and goes like, is there a Santa Claus? And you go, yeah, there is. And you go, is there really a Santa Claus?
Yeah.
Do you then...
That's hard.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would out and out lie.
Mm.
You know, because to me, I mean, I loved the idea of Santa Claus. And I love Christmas.
Yep.
You know, so I like all those sort of elements of Christmas. I love the Santa Claus aspect of it. To me, Santa was never a hammer. You know, Santa was never, it was never, are you a good girl? You know, Santa's going to bring you a gift. That was never said.
You never used it as a threat.
Never used it as a threat. No,
yeah,
never, ever.
Other people do, yeah.
Yeah, I never, wasn't the point to me of, that's what Jesus Christ is for. He's the hammer. No, I'm just joking.
Okay.
No, I just never, I never, Because I just like, you know, it's just fun. Like, it's to me, it's a fun game that you play for a while, and then eventually the children get too old for that game. The same way that they get too old to play Peekaboo.
Well, this is the thing.
You reach an age where you can continue forcing them to play Peekaboo.
It's a weird thing because, like, it feels like when you're kids, you know, you play make-believe with your kids.
Yeah.
And everyone understands that, you know, and maybe some of the make-believe, you know, just stays. Maybe, you know, but you don't really have anything else but Santa Claus that's make-believe that you keep the make-believe even when you're done the make-believe. Like, you know, I wonder if there's a way of doing Santa Claus is just like, no, Santa Claus is coming. Is he real? If we want to make-believe he's real, we make-believe he's real. You know, there we go. Let's do it.
I don't know. I
remember I jumped into the, and I think I did the same thing that my nephew's doing now.
Yeah.
Which is, I would then write notes as Santa Claus and run them by my mom and then give them to my sister. And so I was part of the thing, right? I didn't feel like I was, what? I felt like, oh, now I'm in on it.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to help the story continue.
Yeah.
And then we pass it along.
Because you enjoyed it.
I did enjoy it, but it got weird when they wouldn't tell me the truth. Like, I do remember that was weird of just like, just tell me.
Yeah.
Just let me know. Because as you say, there's kids on the schoolyard.
Yeah.
And you know what they're saying is, you're stupid because you believe in it.
Yeah.
You're a baby because you believe in this thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and because it's the only thing your parents lie to you about that you know of.
Yeah.
That isn't, it's just a weird dichotomy, or not dichotomy, but it's weirdly different than anything else your parents teach you.
Sure, and it's an early experience of the internet, so you were all ready for it by the time you got old enough.
Could be.
When you experience the internet, you're like, oh, I'm ready for this. People are making fun of me for believing stuff.
Do you think people would have an easier time believing in God later on if you didn't have the Santa thing, like, first? Because I remember that was a huge thing in Catholics, and it was a huge thing in Catholic school where, you know, we'd be talking about, you know, God and what God could do.
Yeah.
You talk about Santa and what Santa can do. And as a little kid, both Santa and God look at you, can see you at all times, judge you. Both have beards.
Yeah.
You know, both, you know, there's various similarities. And I would say to, you know, I remember saying to one of my teachers, who I think was a nun, you know, just like, and God's magic and God does this. And it's like, well, God's not magic. It's like, okay, but Santa's magic. Yes, Santa's magic. But God's magic. No, God's not magic. But Santa can do anything. Yeah. And God can do anything. Yeah. But one's magic. Yeah. And one's not. And she was really angry that I was saying that God was magic.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, it's very difficult as a kid.
Yeah.
You're basically now going, so it's Superman and Shazam. Yeah, but Shazam's real. Superman's bullshit. Listen, at some point you got to tell people that Superman's not real. But Shazam, who also has the power of flight, super strength, super speed, and all this thing. But they're very, very different. And it's just confusing as kids. And if your parents are lying to you about that, you feel like maybe God's not real.
Oh, well, I mean, maybe that's the case. I don't know. I never, I mean, Mike, how I came to be a Christian is totally different than how most people. I didn't grow up as a cradle Christian, so I never experienced that sense of betrayal because Santa's like God. And blah, blah, blah. I mean,
I don't even think it's betrayal. I think that if one is not real, and you were told it was real, it opens the door to maybe other things you've been told aren't real.
Yeah,
and maybe you're a baby for believing these things.
I mean, both my girls, when we talked about it, as that it was, you know, a game that we played for a while and now it's over. I mean, that's different than what God is in our lives. We don't play God. It's not a thing that God doesn't write notes or bring presents to the girls. That's a different sort of thing entirely. But I also think that part of the problem that we have is children growing up believing in God is that at some point there's no one there to replace your childish God with a more mature idea of God. You know, it's okay to tell children a kind of infantile idea of God because they're infants, and so they need to have something that makes sense to them. But as you become a teenager and an adult, people shouldn't still be telling you this infantile idea of God. You know, they should be giving you a more sophisticated concept of what God is to kind of fill in the cracks that are developing in this infantile understanding. You know,
what would the differences be between infantile God and like a teenage?
Well, I think things like, we'll often talk about, you know, things like, can God, you know, be everywhere, or is God all powerful, and questions like that, you know, like, and how, you know, our idea of God is like looking at us and watching us and things like that. You know, he's not a policeman. So those kind of control elements of God really need to be replaced at some point. You know, the idea that parents need to have some sort of control. So God is watching you. Santa Claus is watching you.
A lot of adults believe God is a policeman. They do.
Yeah, because they still have this strange idea that they develop as children that's never been.
He doesn't give gifts. some do believe that. They believe, you know, if you pray to him, you'll get well from this disease.
Mm.
Whereas the other, and that's a gift to you. Or, yeah, you know, this will happen.
Or he won't give it to someone else, and that's not a gift to them.
That's the thing. You don't, yeah, you don't think about that because it's your relationship. So it's like, mm-hmm, oh, you know, you win, whatever. Let's just go with this. Win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And you're thanking God. God, yeah, gave you this gift of winning the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, that to me is like Santa bullshit. You know, when you hear that,
yeah,
stuff,
of course,
you might
it
as well
is
have a person go say, thank you, Santa. You know, so what do you do with that?
Well,
you know?
I mean, that's the thing. And I mean, you need to have, I mean, it's hard for me because I would need to sit down and write out my thinking on this because, you know, when you say, I want you to describe God or how your feelings about God, and just do it right now, Dave, this off the top of your head. Well, of course, it's going to be, you know, kind of a jumble because you're trying to think of all kinds of different things at the same time. But yeah, something like that where, you know, what does prayer mean? Like, well, how does God answer prayer? That's something that can change from how children understand mm-hmm. it to how you understand it as an adult. Or, you know, what does it mean by a creator God? You know, the Adam and Eve story. What does that mean as a myth? What does that mean mythologically? How does Christ mean mythologically? Mm-hmm. Like, those are important things to talk about, you know, like how, you know, people then understood the idea of diseases coming from demons and how our understanding has changed, you know, so how you relate the those sort of mythological elements of Christ, how they meant a lot to people then and how those elements have changed for us now. And, you know, things like that. Those are important things to talk about to make it under, you know, people who are coming out of childhood to understand how sophisticated, you know, the concept of God is, you know, and it's
again,
not a simple thing.
I came from a background of Roman Catholicism where it wasn't sophisticated.
Yeah.
Where it was very much more, he is the hammer, where it was very much more blunt.
Yeah.
And so when we talk about it, you know, your version is definitely a legit version. But then my version has been around for so long too,
mm-hmm.
right? So, you know, I think people that went through, and I think a lot of the people that are, you know, very atheist,
yeah,
went through something similar to probably what I went through. And if they did, I can completely see why they'd go, it's not for me, but, you know, you have fun. Like, I look at some of the things I was taught that are like, whoa, no, that needs a hard counter point.
Yeah.
We need to, no, you can't just tell a kid that easy.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think, like, you know, the Santa thing is probably there's very few other things in life that you tell a kid that, you know, is just it's not even a similar game to one you play, except for maybe the Easter Bunny or Tooth Fairy.
It's a weird thing. I agree. It is a strange thing. It can be harmful, but I mean, everything can be harmful.
Absolutely.
Bad parenting can make everything, can make teeth brushing harmful.
Absolutely.
You know?
But we've changed a lot of things from when we were kids.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a lot more believing kids now. You know, you look at so many things from, you know, so many stories, you know, TV stories from when we were kids, and like the parents just don't believe that kid who's telling them, you know, what happened.
Yeah.
And you don't get that anymore because we now need to believe kids because they might tell you something that you need to fucking believe.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, Mr. Snuffleupagus can be seen because everyone's got to believe Big Bird.
Yeah.
Because if they're calling Big Bird a liar about this, then something bad could happen to Big Bird and whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we've brought this on the show before, but I say just get back to the Santa thing because I know we do have to wrap up. I like the Neil deGrasse Tyson thing, and I brought that up before. Whereas Neil deGrasse Tyson,
yeah,
what he says to his daughters is they say Santa delivers presents on Christmas night. They say this. He doesn't say it as a fact.
Yeah.
He says this has, legend has it.
Yeah.
You know, if you put, you know, a stocking up, it'll be filled by Christmas. Will it? Well, legend has it. That's the thing. They say. And then in the morning it's filled. You make your own conclusion there.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. And if they do keep asking questions of him, he will tell them the truth or to look it up or, you know, what have you, or have them find their own conclusions, and there you have it. So he's not technically lying, he feels, to the kids, because that is the legend, and this is what people say.
Yeah. I guess. I mean, if he wants to be a lawyer about it, that's fine. He's got a scalpel out, and he's cut a very fine line there, Mr. Lawyer. I mean,
I mean, a lawyer, but also a scientist.
Some people
think you've got a fine line as a scientist.
Some people think in those sort of legalities and stuff like that, and that's also valid, I guess.
Yep.
But
I mean, again, I don't have kids, but if I was asked, I would probably go with that route. I'd probably go with that route because I wouldn't want to do a direct counter to what is the truth. I've had this with I've had this with my niece on the subject of ghosts.
Yeah.
Because she believes in ghosts, and her grandmother believes in ghosts, and says that ghosts of her relatives are watching her and this kind of thing. And she was telling me that ghosts were real, and she was letting me know that ghosts were real.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was doing the, some people think that ghosts are real. Yeah, some people do believe that. I'm not saying grandma's crackers, and that's completely unrealistic, and there's no proof that ghosts exist at all, and come on, you know. And if she was getting scared of these ghosts, I would probably have a little bit of a different perspective on it. And, but yeah, I just went, yeah, that's what some people think, but not going, yep, that's true.
I guess for me, I'm thinking, you know, in terms of anecdotal, I know from hearing from both girls that neither of them feel that if they heard this argument, they would both think it was silly.
Yep.
You know, that for them, it was fun. It's still fun.
Sure.
You know, because, you know, I took it seriously. I took my role as Santa seriously. I always used different wrapping paper from any other gift.
Yeah. You gained 100 pounds
every year. I gained 100 pounds every year. They always got a different handwritten. It was handwritten.
Yeah.
Script said, you know, to Mary, love Santa.
Yeah, they brought it to school and they compared the handwriting with the other kids. Yeah, didn't match. And they realized.
I think my parents just wrote Santa was the same handwriting as they had, you know. Yeah. But when you're a kid, you're so excited about what's happening, you don't pay attention to that stuff unless you're a detective.
I would write it with my left hand.
Ah, so Santa looked like your.
No, because I was really slow with the hand. I would do it really, really slow.
Oh, okay.
Also, I had to print it because my sister could not read cursive.
So Santa would look like he was drunk.
Yeah. That's right. I was a drunk 8-year-old. I mean, my handwriting was 8-year-old, so you know, it was not good anyway.
Yeah, I can't remember what age I was when I stopped believing in Santa. I was a pretty naive kid.
But so. Again, folks, I've got to take Dave to get his tooth looked at.
Yeah.
What do you think about this subject too? Santa? Huh? Or what? What do you think? Anyway, let us know. Anyway, this has been your after the credits bonus material. Thank you for sticking around after the credits to listen.
We're going to do a commentary track after this as well.
Sure thing. Okay. Bye.